Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather this morning on this first Sunday in the season of Advent. Just want to welcome all of you here this morning. Glad to see you here, and just would like to share a couple of announcements this morning. Again, to remind everyone that we will be having our congregational meeting on December the 8th, which will be next Sunday after worship. So please plan to be with us there for our annual congregational meeting. Also, it has listed a confirmation class following worship today. It's actually it's the second Sunday that we have the confirmation class. So if you see it today and you're here for that, don't be alarmed. It's not this Sunday, but actually next Sunday that we'll be having the confirmation class. Other things, of course, going on here at Albany Church, please take the time to read your bulletin and also go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Albany Presbyterian Church.
For our first reading, the Old Testament reading, be Jeremiah 33:14 through 16. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 683. Listen for God's word for us. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We are in the year of Luke as we begin this new church year. And our reading this morning is from Luke 21, verses 25 through 36. It is found on page 915 of your pew Bible. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things began to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a snare. For it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm always reminded at this time of year of the famous painting by J.F. Watts, which is entitled Hope. In the painting, Hope is depicted as a woman sitting atop the globe. She's blindfolded, so she's in the dark. But the one thing she has, the one thing she's holding Onto is her musical instrument, some kind of stringed instrument. I think it's a lyre, but whatever it is, it's obvious it has great meaning for her life. It's obvious that it gives her great purpose. It's obvious that it gives her hope. But if you look at the painting closely, you see that the musical instrument has only one string. All the rest of the strings have come unraveled. All of them have come undone, but she has this one string. And I imagine that's the one that she is plucking constantly as she clutches her musical instrument, but it's her hope, that one instrument, that one string. It's what she's holding on to, but it's her hope. Hope is something that many people in the world is looking for. One of my favorite journalists, Chris Hedges, likes to very, very prolific. I like to listen to read and listen to some of the things that he has to say, and he always gives a very dire assessment of some of the things that's taking place in the world. But I notice that he always gets questions every time he does a lecture or a speech. Someone always asks, where's the hope? You've created this dire assessment, you've given us this dire picture, but where's the hope? And I noticed that he always struggles with that. He never has very much to say about hope. He doesn't quite know what to answer when he's asked that. Where's the hope? But many people are looking just for that. They may be aware of the dire situation that they may be in. They may be aware of the dire situation the world may be in, but people want to know about hope. Where's the hope? Today, as you've heard, is the first Sunday in Advent. And Advent always begins with hope. Hope in the midst of darkness, hope when everything around you seems to be falling apart. And for some people, that characterizes our world, things falling apart. My mother is 82 years old. She turned 82 last month, and she's always on watching the television, those 24-hour news stations. You know, she's always watching it. I think CNN, or she's gotten, you know, hip to YouTube now. But she's always watching TV, watching the news, especially the news that, you know, loops constantly 24 hours a day. And so she's getting this steady diet of news, usually bad news, or usually highly partisaned news. But she's constantly feeding herself that diet. And every time I talk to her, she says the same thing. Randy, this old world, she says, it's just falling apart. I think we're living in the last days. That's what she'll tell me. And I think she might be right about that when we stop to consider the enormity of the challenges before us. Things don't look good out there. There are all kinds of problems out there. There's all kinds of storm clouds that seem to be gathering. Maybe she's right. We're living in the last days. But as followers of Christ, we are called to be, even in a situation where the world seems to be falling apart, we are called to be people of hope. We are called to be people not who live in despair. We are called to be people not who live in fear, but we are called to be people of hope. And so I want to say a few words about hope this morning, because it's easy sometimes to get hope wrong. It's easy to misunderstand hope. People sometimes get optimism and hope confused. But of course, they're not the same thing. Optimism is usually based on circumstances. It's based on circumstances. It's based on things we can see. Sometimes it's based on experience, the experiences that we've had. I often try to be optimistic as much as I can. I'm optimistic, for instance, that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. I'm optimistic about that because it's been my experience for every day of my life. For over the 60 years that I've been alive, the sun has come up, it's rose in the morning, and so I'm pretty optimistic that the sun will rise tomorrow. I can be optimistic about that. And sometimes optimism is based on circumstances, what's going on in the world. If you are someone who has investments in the stock market, and the stock market is gone up and your investments are doing well, you're feeling probably a little optimistic about the future. If you're looking for a job and the job market is hot and there's a high demand for your particular skill, then you're probably feeling a little bit optimistic. If your children are doing well in school and everything is going fine, you're probably optimistic about their future. We can be optimistic about a lot of things that we see going around us, if those things are going right, if the trends are going in the right direction. But hope is different from that. Hope is what we are called to have when there's no reason to be optimistic. Hope is what we are called to have when we are at the end of our rope, when all the trends are going in the wrong direction, when every experience that we've had says that this is things are bad, things are not going to recover. Hope is what we are called to have when everything around us is falling apart, when everything is coming to an end. That's when we are called to be people of hope. Hope does not depend on what we can see. It does not depend on what we can do or what we have experienced. Hope is about what God does and what God has promised to do. And so you and I are called this morning to be people of hope. The Bible, of course, is a story of hope, which is to say, it's the story of God breaking into the darkness of our world and into the darkness of our lives to save us, to rescue us, to redeem us, especially when it looks like there's absolutely no hope. That was the story of the Israelites in the Bible from the very beginning in the book of Genesis and Exodus. The Israelites find themselves slaves in Egypt. There's no hope, nothing that says that they can rid themselves from the power of Egypt. They're slaves, and that looks like that's all they are going to be. Nothing to be optimistic about, nothing to be hopeful about. And yet we are told that God hears the cries of the people, and God reaches down to liberate them and to save them and to redeem them. Because God was their hope. And that's true in the New Testament as well, particularly in the life of Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus comes into the midst of the world. He is God with us, and yet Jesus was crucified and dead and buried. And when you are dead, you are dead. There's no optimism there. There's no possible future that is there. And yet God reaches down and raises Jesus from the dead. God reaches down and provides a future where the future has been closed down. And what God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ, God promises to do for all of us. God promises to do for you and for me. Indeed, God promises to do for the whole world. That is, to make a future where the future seems closed down. And that's what Advent is about. It's about the hope of God's coming future, the hope of God's promised future. That's what our lectionary reading is about this morning as well, particularly our gospel reading. It's another one of those scary apocalyptic texts. I know you are, all of you, trying to get ready for Christmas, and you're trying to get into the Christmas spirit, and you probably can't wait till we get to sing Christmas carols. After all, the prevailing culture is already ahead of us, and so we can't wait to get into the Christmas spirit and can't wait to begin to experience some Christmas cheer. But the lectionary this morning doesn't sound very, very Christmassy. In fact, you're probably saying, why do I have to come here and hear Jesus once again talking about the end of the world, talking about nations being in distress, heavens being shaken, people's hearts failing them because of fear? But it's all about hope. Advent is about the hope that Jesus wants to make sure that we understand that we have. When we think of apocalypse, and particularly apocalyptic texts like this, as the one we read a couple of weeks ago, we typically think of, you know, destruction. We typically think of the end of the world. We typically think of things falling apart. So when someone says apocalypse, that's what we think of. But apocalypse is not about the end of the world. It's not about things coming apart. Apocalypse, as we noted before, means to reveal. It means to uncover. But sometimes, indeed, very often, the most important things and the most revealing things are things that are revealed in the midst of suffering and loss. There are things that are revealed when we're at the end of our ropes, things that are revealed when the things that we have relied upon are no longer there. Again, that's what happens to God's people, the Israelites. They go through a great apocalypse, a great revealing. They experience great suffering during the Babylonian captivity, that the temple is destroyed and torn down, and they are left with nothing. They are left with no future. They're carried away into the captivity. They have absolutely nothing. And in the midst of that, they learn something important about God. They learn that God is not confined to temples. They learn that God is not confined to certain locations. They even learn that God does not belong exclusively to them. They learn that God is everywhere. They learn that God can be God not only in Israel, but that God can be God in Babylon as well. They learn that God is not only concerned about their welfare, but they learn that God is also concerned about the dreaded Babylonians. All of that is revealed in the sense of, in the midst of the great loss that they experience. And Jesus says to all of us, when you see these things, when things begin to come apart, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel anxious, when the world looks like it's becoming unraveled, when you're tempted to be overcome with fear, when you don't know where you're going to turn, remember your hope. That your hope does not reside in the things of the world, but your hope comes from the outside. Your hope comes from the God who has promised you a future. Hope is not something that we just wait around for. It would be easy for us to say, let's just wait on God to fix everything. Let's wait on God to come and fix the world. But hope is not just about waiting. Hope is also about doing. Hope is something that needs to be practiced. We need to practice hope. Several years ago during the Bosnian War, I remember seeing on TV someone who in the midst of that devastation set up a piano in a public place and began to play the piano in the midst of that destruction and conflict. Ravaged buildings, war-torn buildings, machine gun pocked buildings, everything lying in devastation, and yet they were out there playing the piano. They were living into the hope, practicing hope. I was saying I wouldn't even do that here in Olney. I wouldn't put a piano or anything up here in the streets in Olney. I'd be scared to do that here, let alone in a war-torn area. But that's what they were doing. The person was saying, I can't do anything about the war. I can't affect the outcome. I can't control the future. But what I can do is I can practice hope. I can practice right now something beautiful. I can practice the hope that I have. I saw that again too in Gaza. I was reading something a couple of weeks ago about a young couple, 23-year-old man, 18-year-old girl, who decided to get married. They had planned to get married about a year and a half ago, but the conflict had interrupted their plans, and so there they were in the midst of all that devastation in a refugee camp. They didn't even have a place to live, but they were in a refugee camp, and they held a ceremony, a marriage ceremony, and a celebration, and they were there celebrating, getting married. You would say to yourself, why in the world would somebody get married in those kinds of circumstances? Why would you get married in that kind of environment? I mean, Gaza is completely destroyed for all intents and purposes. It looks like they're not even going to have a future. It looks like the intended purpose is to move the people of Gaza out. The buildings have been destroyed. Everything has been destroyed. Why in the world would you have a marriage ceremony? Why in the world would anyone get married? But they were practicing hope. Again, they were saying that I can't control the future. We can't control the future. We don't even know what the future is going to be. But we can practice our hope. I was reading some time ago about a man who's like my mother. Liked to watch the news. Liked to watch TV. He too was constantly watching the news, one of those partisan news stations where, you know, he would go and get his news, and he was constantly glued to the TV, and he was heavily partisan and was always looking to reinforce his partisan aspirations, constantly watching the news, and he was very much into an election that was happening, and he was turning on the news to listen to his side and to get the rundown on the opposite side, and then the election came and his candidate didn't win. And he was devastated by that. But he did something interesting. He turned the TV off. He decided he would turn the TV off and not pay much attention to it anymore. He didn't like what feeding himself all of that information was doing to him, all of that partisan information, all of that negative information. He didn't like what it was doing to him. But what he decided to do was to direct his attention to a small pond that was not far from where he lived, a pond that had been contaminated by a coal mine for many, many years. And he decided that he would direct his energies there to cleaning up that pond and renovating that pond. And then he turned his attention to also renovating the old coal mine. And so that's what he began to do. And again, he was saying to himself, I can't control the future. I can't control who's going to be president of the United States. I can't control who's going to win Congress. I can't do much about public policy. There's nothing I can do about it. I can run myself crazy. I can go insane about what might be happening in Washington and what might be happening in the world, but I can't do anything about it. But what I can do is I can clean up this little pond not far from where I live, and I can invite other people to be about that as well. I can practice my hope. And that's what you and I are called to do as well. We are called to practice our hope as God's people. There's a lot in the world we can't control. I wish I could control it. There's a lot in the world that makes me anxious. There's a lot in the world that makes me mad. There's a lot in the world that I wish I was able to affect, but I can't. It's bigger than me. But we can spend time bemoaning and despairing about things that we don't have very much control over, and we can be about doing the things that we do have control over. We can be about making the world a better place in this little community. We can be about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. We can be about bringing the light of God's mercy and grace in the midst of this community. We can be about practicing our hope. That's what we did last Sunday. That's what we did last Sunday when we came together around the table downstairs. We had our pre-Thanksgiving dinner. We're practicing hope. In a world that's divided in so many ways, in a world that wants to divide us in so many ways, we got together and we practiced our hope. I saw some of the pictures of it that was posted on Facebook, and I love sending those pictures to, you know, people, friends of mine in other cities, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event, seeing all of the Olney family, people of varying races and ethnicities, people of, I suspect, different political and ideological persuasions, but we were there in the midst of downstairs practicing hope, eating together, fellowshipping together, enjoying each other's company in a world that says doesn't want us to do that, in a world that wants to keep us divided. We were practicing hope. Sometimes the frustration of being, you know, part of God's people is that we could be overcome by little things, petty things, or things we can't control. We can get mad at each other for various reasons. We can be angry about different positions that are taken. Sometimes I'm angry about positions that the presbytery takes, that the greater church takes, but I can't control those things. I can't control that. Can't control what the presbytery is going to do. No one's going to listen to me. At least not a whole lot of people is going to listen to me. But I can practice my hope. I can practice loving each other, loving other people. I can practice being the kind of faithful servant that God has called me to be. I can, in the way I live my life, bear witness to the fact that My life belongs to God. It's in God's hands. And that no matter what happens in life or in death, that I belong to God, a God who promises a future even when the future appears closed down, a future that not even death itself can overcome. And that's the good news for all of us. In fact, that's the good news for this season. The good news is that we are called to be people of hope. And that's what this season is about. It's about hope. Hope that shines in the darkness. It's about hope when everything seems to be closed down. It's about hope when everything seems to be falling apart. It's about God, who has all of our lives in God's hands. And God saying, I've got you. Don't worry about anything. I've got you. Don't worry about the future. I've got you. Some of you may be sick, but I've got you. Some of you may be worried about the future, but I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. Not even death itself can overcome the great love that I have for you and can overcome the future that I promised to give you. It's about hope. And so pray this morning that we continue to be the people of hope that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this morning. We give you thanks that you have called us into this place to be your people, to be the light that shines in the midst of a world ensnared in darkness. Help us to be the people of hope that you have called us to be, especially in a world that would like us to live in fear and that would like us to fear each other, especially the other that is different. Help us to be your loving, gracious people. Help us to be the people of hope. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.